showers, the high 58. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 58 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And not down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Top 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. Hope you guys are doing well. Hope you guys are ready for a fun day here on the Miller's Edge. Now, we did have a little bit of a mix-up. Not mix-up, necessarily. I'll call it more of an audible. We're going to throw an audible at you. I know we had a couple things scheduled for today, right? We're scheduled to talk with Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson at the top of the hour. So we're looking forward to doing that. The other part, to this Talking Tuesday, we were going to talk with Tony Brown today. We're going to push that tomorrow. Tony's got some stuff with his son. He's training and doing some things, and their time got ran over a little bit, which is fine because we're going to move it to tomorrow. That way we have more time with Clint, and then we got plenty of time with Tony tomorrow. So we still will talk with Clint Lamb and Cover Crimson in about 49 minutes or so, and then we'll have Crazy Tony on here tomorrow on the Wednesday edition. So again, I told you, bye week, man, we got plenty of time. So we're going to be getting, you know, a number of people on here and just hanging out and do plenty of talking, self-assessment, I guess, kind of like the guys are doing this week and all that good stuff. We'll let it roll. Per usual, we are presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. Make sure you guys check them out if you haven't already. Try before you buy, nothing to lose. Make sure you just walk on in there. Walk-ins are welcome. You don't need an appointment, but if you'd rather be punctual, you're on a time crunch, whatever the case may be, go to their website, goodfeet.com. You can schedule an appointment and find the nearest location to you. They are nationwide. There's 5 stores now in Alabama. They're growing extremely fast. Tuscaloosa's location is right here in Midtown Village. Make sure you guys pay them a visit. Tell them the Miller's Edge sent you. They might hook you up with something. We'll see. But again, that is a Good Feet store. Premium arch supports designed to eliminate and alleviate all types of pain, whether it's foot pain, knee pain, back pain, hip pain, you name it. They will address it, take care of it, and take care of you and get you living your healthiest life. Again, that is the Good Feet store. Improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time. All right, since this is Talking Tuesday, we got plenty to talk about. We mentioned some of those things yesterday around the college football world. It's kind of mayhem right now. LSU firing Brian Kelly. We already knew about the Florida job opening up. Penn State fired James Franklin. There's plenty of openings. A lot of people are wondering who's going to be taking these openings. And, hell, I definitely don't know. But I'm curious, right? I mean, especially with LSU and Florida, I mean, those are two prominent programs in the SEC, two really good jobs, right? We'll see who ends up taking those spots. Chase, I was thinking in my head the other day, well, not the, I think probably yesterday, right? I guess that counts as the other day too. As impressive as Alabama's offense has been this year under Ryan Grubb, right? Are we at all concerned that he could be a candidate for any of these jobs? I want to throw that question out there earlier, and I'm curious what you guys think about this. Again, it's Talking Tuesday, so we're just going to talk about a number of different things. But that was one thing that I felt could maybe be a little bit of a conversation. Now, personally, and I'll dive a little bit deeper in it when we have more time, right? This is kind of opening segment, just throwing some stuff out there, seeing what sticks. But when I look at Ryan Grubb and him being a candidate, I mean, we all know how it works. I mean, the coordinators for the good teams, the successful teams, and the guys that are obviously out there producing and they have, you know, the receipts, right, to speak for it, they're going to be on the radar of a lot of these athletic directors. That's typically how it works. We see it all the time. Yes, head coaches, former head coaches, they, you know, and other up-and-coming head coaches, they definitely get a lot of attention. But a lot of times, you know, these head coaches also stem from, you know, coordinators of great programs. I mean, you look at the likes of Dan Lanning, you know, he's working at Georgia with Kirby. The success they had, he got his opportunities as a head coach. really, I mean, Kirby Smart is another one, started as a coordinator. I'm just saying this, and I know it's a little premature. Ryan Grubb's only been here a year, right? He came from Washington. They had success there. He was highly touted as an offensive coordinator before leaving to the NFL and spending a year there in Seattle to now come to Tuscaloosa. But with what Alabama's been doing offensively, I don't know. I wouldn't be shocked if he's on the radar. Now, would he already be in that conversation? Personally, I think it's a little early for that. I think I said way back at the beginning of the year, I see him here probably at least 2 years, at least two seasons. Personally, that's just my, I mean, I guess anything could happen, but I felt it'd be way too soon for him to take a job like that. Now, if you're talking about the likes of, I don't know off the top of my head, like any other openings right now, maybe smaller schools other than some like UAB, which is way too small. I mean, I would never think he would just take that, but I'm trying to think, Chase, are there any other openings that are a little bit less significant than the Penn State, Florida, LSU that I'm slipping right now that maybe he could be targeted for? But personally, I just don't even think he would do that. That wouldn't make much sense to me, because if I was him, I'd probably hang out at least another year or so, and then something else big open up. I don't know. Y'all just start thinking about that, because that is a conversation that I definitely wanted to talk about with all the coaching rumors and things swirling around. Right now, especially with this bye week going on, there's plenty of stuff to dive into. Plus, you guys, you see the title on the YouTube stream. If you haven't checked us out already, at the Miller's Edge on YouTube, it says, is Alabama the team to beat, right? Are we title favorites? And the reason I put that is I was thinking about it. I mean, again, you got the college football playoff announcements coming up soon. I think it might be next week, I believe. But anyway, we're starting to kind of get into that time of year where things are starting to I guess present themselves, and you're starting to see kind of who's going to be the last team standing or who's going to be able to kind of squeeze themselves into these final spots, right? And just after watching a lot of football this far this season, I mean, I just can't help but think, even after the challenges we just faced on the road in South Carolina, I told you guys, I mean, we're going to be critical, we're going to be analysts, that's what we do, but at the same time, I'm also going to consider all the other factors, meaning that, you know, I'm not going to put too much stock into that one performance given it was our fifth game in a five-week stretch, hostile environment, all that good stuff, right? Beaten up, bruised up, all that good stuff. Anyway, I still believe, even with that performance, that Alabama just looks to be in that realm of one of the teams to beat that could win a national championship. That's personally my opinion. I do feel like we definitely look like a title contender, especially comparing us to other teams. Still some stuff we got to clean up and get better at, just like everybody else. But I strongly feel like the progression that we've made from week one to now clearly is about as big as an indicator as I don't know what to show that this team is continuously getting better and improving and hopefully going to continue to hit their stride at the right point. I think I heard Jeremy Bernard say that if we were playing our best ball, we'd be in trouble. Basically saying the fact is we're not even playing our best ball. We're not even playing close to it. So that's coming from the horse's mouth. That's from him himself. These coaches, they've said it repeatedly. They were hearing players say it. They feel like there's a lot left on the table for them. And if that is the case, which I do personally agree as well, I think Bama's got a really good shot when it comes down to it when we get into the thick of it. But anyway, just a couple of things that have just popped up on my head on this Talking Tuesday. Plus, we always like to go wherever you guys like to go as well. I'm sure there's plenty of interviews and things we'll dive into. But again, 12 o'clock, top of the hour, we will have Clint Lamb joining us via the phone lines. We'll talk to him about his thoughts from last weekend's game. The big win over South Carolina, narrowly escaping Columbia. Talked to him about moving forward, his thoughts in this bye week. I was going to say going into this bye week, but we're in the bye week now, right? His thoughts during this bye week, what Bama needs to kind of get cleaned up, focus on as we get ready to face a coachless LSU team. I don't know why that's funny, but it's just kind of crazy to think about. We're literally at this point in the year and these coaches are just gone like that, man. Crazy stuff we're dealing with in the football realm. That being said, let's go ahead and hit our first timeout. We come back, we dive into this Talking Tuesday. 205-342-9904 is the number to the phone lines. If you guys want to join in on the conversation, man, we're wide open. We're looking forward to talking with you guys about anything and everything. We're going back to like an original Talking Tuesday. It's a bye week, so we can do that. We can talk with you guys ASAP. You ain't got to wait as long. So if you guys want to, take advantage of it right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
It's an SD on this plan. Home internet pricing after $20 a monthly bill credit plus $5 per line without auto pay. Debit or bank account required. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
And welcome back into this Talking Tuesday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. All right, let's start with this topic. I know we mentioned the coaching stuff. We'll dive into that here in a minute, but I want to talk about this because it is a title on the stream over on YouTube. Again, at the Miller's Edge, come check us out, hang out with us, all that good stuff. Chase, are we the team to beat? Are we national championship favorites? I'll give my thoughts. I know there's number one, there's people that had us as the favorites to win it going into the year. Week one happened. It was a frenzy. Everybody started saying, oh, man, what happened to Bama? They're cooked, trying to run out the coaching staff, all that good stuff. But then since then, people have been slowly but surely hopping back on the Bama wagon, right? People have been starting to buy back in, right? It was almost like in the stock market. I don't know if you guys are, you know, hip on that, but there was a big sell-off after week one. And people started buying back in. And right now, Bama stock is riding pretty high, right? Now, this is my thing. Here's, you know, I know I titled this. I don't necessarily mean like I'm saying we're a favorite. It's just a question I'm throwing out there. I wouldn't say we're necessarily a favorite to win it all right now. I still think there are some things that we need to improve on, that we need to solidify for us to confidently, you know, be at that point. Even with that being said, I don't care if you're a favorite, if a lot of people think this, regardless, you still got to go out there and play the games. I mean, anybody can lose. We all know that. But let's break it down. I'm going to bring you in this, Chase. Hopefully you finish that spaghetti you had going. I want to get your opinion on this. Because I look at it like this. Let's just break it down surface level right at first. Let's look at it from the three different phases. And I'm sure there's different aspects that we could really talk about. But initially, right, let's just talk about offense, the defense, and the special teams. Look at the three phases of the game and just see kind of how we're feeling about them and where we stack up against the rest. Now, I'm not just going to just look at the numbers. I mean, we can try to pull those up if we need to. But let's start with the offense. You got a red-hot quarterback, right? Obviously struggled a little bit against South Carolina. It happens. Nobody's, you know, freaking out about that. It is what it is. But still, you know, he made some damn good throws. And when it mattered most, he led them down on those last couple drives, and we were able to score points and win the football game. But you got a red-hot quarterback in Ty Simms. A lot of people have him as a Heisman favorite, or at least top two, top three, depending on what poll, who you ask, whatever the case may be. So you can check that mark. And we all know it takes damn good quarterback play to win a championship. I mean, I don't think there's any arguments there. So we check that box. You know, look at the running back room. We've got talent. We've got players, but they haven't been consistent. We haven't consistently, you know, established our running game. Is that on them? Not so much. It's more so on the offensive line, and we'll pull that up. I know that's a point of emphasis we're going to break down. I'll pull up some tape here in a minute, and we'll try to look at some of these running plays and why they did or did not have success. So that is one thing I will say about our offense. The lack of running game, right, that does concern me because I know it will show up at some point. Just like I said weeks ago, and then you see in the South Carolina game, the passing game wasn't there. And that's why you still need to be able to rely on that running game, especially on the road. Because, again, you're expected almost have some issues with the passing game at time. Like, it's natural. You got to be able to have a running game. And the good news is we haven't abandoned it. We still go to it. We still attempt to run the football. But we're just not able to do it consistently. And I personally think that needs to get better in order for us to have more of a, you know, I guess more of a chance of having success down the road in some of these bigger matches. I think that will be important. Receiver room, and we know what we're getting out of them. Those guys are explosive, arguably the most talented room in the country, depending on who you ask. Hadn't really had issues with drops. South Carolina game, we saw some. I know Ryan's been struggling a little bit with that. But for the most part, man, these guys have been pretty solid, reliable, and done a nice job. So overall, looking at the offense, Chase, personally, given our product, and I know, let me see if I think I had some of these stats pulled up. But again, I'm not too worried about this, but I know like points per game, stuff like that, there's some numbers there. But I want to say the numbers don't reflect how we really play. I mean, we dominate time of possession. We're having these long, sustainable drives. We're not just driving down and scoring a whole bunch of points. So if you look at like the number of points per game for our offense, it might not blow you away. But that's why I'm saying I don't get consumed by those numbers, right? Because I think when I did see those, and I can pull them up, I just don't want to waste too much time while I'm talking. I guess I'll do it while you're talking, Chase. But I would just say, based on what I see on tape, our offense, man, is in my opinion, we have plenty of what we need outside of the lack of running game to be a championship-winning football team. The other part of that, which goes with the running game, is just the offensive line play. That's got to be better. The things that with the offense that need to be better for us to be that championship favorite or that championship football team that we want to be is more consistent offensive line play. Again, the word is more consistent. I'm not saying they're not a good group. I just don't think we're playing at like a championship level in terms of offensive line play, right? If we were, the running game would be much more consistent and effective. And we also wouldn't be, you know, having to shift around all these different guys and worrying about right tackle spot or having like, it's one thing, like I know I preach about having those chips and keeping backs in protection, which is great. That's a great solution. But preferably, you don't want to have to over-rely on that. I'm not saying it disrupts everything, but it does sometimes limit some of the concepts you might be trying to do offensively when you know you have to keep protection in to help, or you have to keep guys in to help the protection, right? So they just need to be more consistent. And I think if you can, if the offensive line can get to playing at that level on a consistent basis, I think, I mean, I'll check that box for the offense. Because even with them being inconsistent, we see the effectiveness of this offense. I think that's just the biggest thing that's lacking. On the, actually, no, let me let you, I'll give you a second, Chase. Tell me about your opinions on the offense. You think offensively we're about at that championship standard? You think we still lack some, or what are your thoughts?
I think we still lack some. I don't think anybody at this point in the season is at that pedigree of a championship team. Bama is probably one of the favorites, but I think offensively, the offensive line is probably the big glaring like red flag. I think too many times Ty is having to run for his life, create a lot of plays that could cause an injury, or you're kind of having an extended play where you just literally, if you would have chop blocked or if you would have saw, you know, defender coming on the left side, it would have negated a fumble or a loss of yardage, which stalls the offense. And now we're looking at a punt, which could have really helped a lot. But yeah, I feel like it's gotten a lot better since Florida State. I will say that. But as the season progresses, you need your offensive line to be a unit, you know, because you're going to face better defenses, especially when you get into college football, the playoffs, excuse me. There's better defenses out there, you know, Big Ten, ACC conference like that. You have to be at your forefront, or you literally have to play from behind, which leads me to the running game. I'm shocked the running game hasn't popped off the way it has like last year. I thought Jam Miller was going to – I know he's had injuries, Christian, but I feel like he's having to play from behind, and he's having to, like, double-check himself. You know, you kind of see him kind of hesitate a little bit. He's having to do a lot more than what he did last year. I don't know if that's maybe confidence, maybe because you like is the injuries, but I just feel like he's not having that breakout year that a lot of people thought he's going to have his senior year, which I think it kind of speaks to the running game that I'm scared that it, as much as Ty's been playing really well, heck, he's a Heisman favorite. You don't need Ty to be this like the best quarterback out there. You need your running game to complement that because Ty's going to get tired. He can't just be this Peyton Manning, just so many quarterbacks at once needs to play his game. That's why the running game is so essential, especially when, you know, if you're facing a defense that has a poor defensive line, you want to attack that. But you can't attack that if your running game is literally garbage. And I feel like that's something that needs to be fixed because that'll put Alabama in a stratosphere I don't think any team can touch, especially in the SEC. And I think lastly, too, Christian, efficiency. I'm looking at the schedule. There's no way that Missouri should have been that close to Alabama, 27-24. I feel like they could have attacked their defense a lot better. I feel like there were just so many miscues, you know, miscatches, a lot of false starts, just things that should have been cleaned up, especially since, let me say, September 13th against Wisconsin. Because they're a really good offensive team, especially when they're on the ball rolling. They're just hard to stop. No one can stop the wide receiver group because how many talented players they have. Obviously, Ty Simpson is like a Heisman favorite right now. And then once that running game is up to speed, I'm looking at their schedule. LSU, they just lost their head coach. They're kind of in scrambles. Oklahoma had a tough time with Ole Miss. Eastern Illinois, that's omit. And then Auburn's defense is pretty good, but it's just not up to par with Alabama. So if Alabama can fix the efficiency issues, they will definitely, you can put this on tape, will be a championship team.
Yeah, and I was about to say, I think we all can agree. I mean, offensively, I think everybody's been really pleased for the most part. I mean, outside of things we mentioned. And I pulled up those numbers while you were giving us your thoughts, Chase. Thank you for that, by the way, man. Total offense, Alabama's coming at 53rd nationally, averaging 410 yards per game. And then it was 34th for scoring. Excuse me. Well, we came in at 34th with 34 points per game as well. So, like I said, to me, I'm not too concerned about the numbers. I go off of what I see. I just was curious about where we stacked up. But I'm telling you guys, a consistent running game boosts all that stuff. I mean, it really does. And I said going into this year, you guys remember, we'll go as far as our offensive line takes us. And that still is the case. I mean, is it not? I mean, would you guys not agree? Ty's great. Receivers are great. And I'll say this. I mean, running back room is solid. I saw somebody say that we missed Justice Haynes. I mean, yeah, we probably do miss him a little bit. I think he would add another, you know, element. And obviously we see how good he's playing with Michigan right now. But, and I'll show you guys on tape. I think a lot of it does stem from, you know, up front, we got to be more consistent. And I stand by that. Offensive line play, that can get better. The whole offense will improve, and I think we can easily check that box. We got to – let's do this. We'll combine break since we're already at 37, and we'll just jump to defense because I know a lot of people are curious about this. Can we check that box for defense? Chase, this one's tough for me, man, because if you look at the numbers, right, which, again, we glance – this is going to be our thing. We glance at the numbers, but we don't stare at the numbers. A lot of people stare at them. We just glance at them. You look at the numbers, Chase. Alabama's 24th nationally, right? Only giving up 300, and this is total defense, only giving up 312 yards per game. And I want to say scoring defense has actually been pretty good, too. I'll pull up that number. I know we're probably around like the 20s, low 20s, really low 20s. Comparing that to the rest of the country, actually, no, we're at 18, and that's 20th nationally, right? So top 25 in both scoring defense and total defense. Which is interesting because when you think about some of the chatter you hear, even from like the fans, when we're watching our defensive performances and you're seeing some of these explosive plays, it's easy to hyper-focus on those. And that's why I go back to what I've been saying. I've been saying on my post-game show, I think what's happened with our defense at this point is we got so used to early on getting so quickly frustrated with some of the explosive plays or like the bad drives early in the game that you forget the other 80% of the game that is actually really positive that consists of cleaning up, you know, our rush defense, forcing turnovers, getting stops in the red zone, limiting points, holding these guys to field goals instead of seven when you get in those spots. And it's just like the rule, if you think about it, like, yeah, we might have, you know, 10%, 15%, maybe even 20% some games of some negatives. But that shouldn't discredit the whole 80% of what these guys are doing. And I've felt that way for the last probably 3-4 games now. Initially, after Florida State, I get it. Like, you guys heard how I was critical. And again, it was more so based off of the lack of effort, lack of physicality, all those things. That was what really ticked me off. And that was why I was like, oh, if we don't even have that stuff, I don't care who you have. Oh, we're as good as beat. But since that all has been cleaned up and seen even like schematically, like I tip my hat to Kane Womack, man. Like even some of the little things that I kind of nitpicked, I feel like they've even as a coaching staff started to kind of weed out some things that they might have done earlier in the year. They're doing a little bit less of it and they're leaning into what they actually do better, right? So I say all that to say this, because I know a couple of you guys in the comments here, you said, it's the defense. I don't know if we're a championship level defense just yet. I would say this, we're a lot closer to it than some may actually realize, in my opinion. And that's coming from me. You guys know I'm a defensive guy and you guys know I call it how I see it. My dad might disagree with me, but what I'm seeing right now from our defense is I'm seeing a unit, man, that's finding ways to get big time stops, limiting points, and they've addressed the things that, you know, were issues earlier on. The lack of pass rush, right? That was a genuine concern. We said that before the season started. We said that through the first few games when it still was low. And I'm sure the number still isn't great. However, when you watch the tape, again, that's why you can't get over invested in the numbers. Like South Carolina, we might have sacked Lenoris maybe, once, twice at most. I don't even have the number. I'm just going off the top of my head. But what I do know is we force a lot of hurries. We force a lot of pressures. We might not have finished on them, which is, you know, fair. I mean, the dude is a tank. We knew it was going to be tough. But just the stuff like that, man, we're forcing more pressure. We're generating pressure, whether it's, you know, Yonze stepping up, doing his thing, whether it's, you know, throwing Deontay Lawson down there and putting him at that, what I call the buck position, where he's, you know, mugged over the guard and we're working games. We're running Texas and X's with him and different stunts. You know, I mean, I'm seeing us bring a lot more pressure and blitzes. And I think defensively, man, I mean, we're playing some good ball. Now, I would be curious to see how we look going against. I don't know how many teams we face that, to me, I guess, I'm not saying we haven't played. I'd have to look at the numbers, and I could be way off when I say this, but we played really well against Tennessee, who was arguably the best offense in the country, so that was good. But I just keep going back to, Missouri, South Carolina. I mean, they were a little one-dimensional. Georgia's solid, but, you know, still not like some OD offense. But still, I'm not discrediting our guys. I'm just thinking in my head, will we still see that same level play against a team like Ole Miss? Which some might say, well, yeah, sure, you did against Tennessee, but I don't know. I guess I still want to see us play against some more offense that I feel like are a little bit more balanced and explosive. I feel like a lot of offense we played, I mean, whether it be Vanderbilt, South Carolina, Missouri, the ones I mentioned, I feel like they're a little one-dimensional, weren't as, you know, as much of a threat as some of these others could be, but we'll have to see. And I could just be, I guess, holding my expectations really high and just trying to push the the goalposts. But that being said, I don't know, Chase, I'm a lot higher on this defense than I definitely was weeks past. I guess I can say that. And to put a bow on it, if you had to ask me, could this defense help us win a national championship? I would say, I mean, the way they're playing right now, if they, like I mentioned, the offense, their issue, the defense, if we could limit explosive plays, right, which I feel like at least we did that against South Carolina a little bit better. It had the big one in Nick Harbor happens. A couple long runs by Lenoris, that's going to happen. I think the biggest issue with defense right now is cut down on the explosive plays, continue to improve on pass rush, right? We've gotten better, but I still wanted to pick up. I mean, I wanted to be even more disruptive. Turnovers have been great. I'm trying to think, man, off the top of my head, tackling has been, you know, a little up and down. Tackling probably needs to be cleaned up a little bit. But other than that, man, I mean, I feel like defensive line play, a lot of people complain about that. I feel like that's been a lot better. I feel like guys just have a much better understanding of their role and how they fit, whether it's Tim Keenan, you know, eating up blocks, you know, LT Overton being very disruptive, being able to work across the defensive line, young guys coming up and stepping in, Hell, think about this, Chase. We've seen now at this point, South Carolina, we saw Keon Keeley get some reps, not just because of injuries, but he got various reps throughout the game, including the game-winning sack. Kevontae Henry, they had him in some passing situations, letting him get after the quarterback. So obviously, they feel more comfortable about where he's at now. We'll see how that provides some, you know, even more depth on that defensive line. You look at Jordan Renaud, who I think is, he might be doing the opposite. He was playing more earlier. And I think some of those other guys, whether it's Keon or, hell, even 17, transfer from Florida. First couple of times, I'm not going to lie to you guys, when I saw him in camp, I was like, I'm not too sure about this guy. But he's gotten a lot better, and he's progressed. So what I'm getting at is the defense line play has been better, and a lot of the depth pieces have really stepped up, and they're now, I guess, in a position where these coaches trust them enough to put them out there and get more reps, which is great. I feel like our trio of backers, man, their play has been much better. And now you're seeing 41, he stepped up so much. I mean, we're even seeing a lot of stuff where you got, you know, 4-3 looks, getting them all in the field. Justin Jefferson's playing good. Deontay Lawson, I mean, not perfect. I mean, I still think he's a little, you know, maybe a little ginger from injury, maybe. I don't know. Maybe he's over. I don't know. But he's still looking better than the secondary. Damani's, you know, struggling. But look at DJ Lee stepping up. You know what I mean? I mean, you see, you know, Deshaun Jones struggling at times. Red Morgan comes in and he steps up. Dre Kirkpatrick has been getting some opportunities and been doing a good job. So, I don't know. I say all that to say, I know I said a whole hell of a lot, and I'm about to send us to break. I do feel like our defense could get the job done. I do. As long as they continue to improve like they're doing right now, I think I have faith in this defense, man. Believe it or not, I do. And hopefully they can continue to get better, right? Because they're on the right track. That being said, let's hit a timeout. We come back. We keep diving into this. Plus, again, top of the hour, we've got Clint Lamb. He'll be joining us via the phone lines. We'll talk with him. Keep on rolling. Again, we push Tony to tomorrow. So Tony Brown will be joining us tomorrow. We'll have plenty of time with him, and it will be very entertaining. Trust me. I promise you that. And it's good that we have more time with him tomorrow, because you guys will not want to miss that. You're going to enjoy this. That being said, quick timeout. When we come back, we'll get y'all's thoughts as well on this conversation right here on the Miller's Edge. Top 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art sport experts. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
And the clock's gonna run out, and Bama's gonna win it, 29-22. And for the love, let's get out of here.
Join us next Saturday as the Crimson Tide take on the LSU Tigers at Bryant-Denny Stadium on your home for Alabama football.
Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by Two Dimes. Online at twodimes.club. And by Druid City Regional Medical Center. DCHSystem.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
Of the Crimson Tide, sold in stadium and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are
Tide postgame show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Tuesday edition of The Game, we'll talk to Mike Dettillier from WWL. We'll talk about what's next for LSU as they prepare for the University of Alabama. We'll do that with Mike Dettillier. We're going to have a film study session with Brooks Austin, the film guy. He's going to break down some Alabama film. We'll talk about where Alabama can improve and what he has been pleased with so far. We'll talk to Chris Plank from SiriusXM, all starting at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler, weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by Two Dimes. Online at TwoDimes.club. And by Druid City Regional Medical Center. DCHSystem.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
Only applicable for new auto insurance business. Rates will vary by several factors, including how you purchase the policy. Potential savings may vary. Allstate North American Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping
205-800-8000. I've got this.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
WTBC. I want to finish this answer real quick. So for our radio listeners, we got a whole bunch of activity in the chat, man. So if you guys want to come hang out, interact, it's at the Miller's Edge on YouTube. But there's a question about halftime adjustments and what that looked like. And just painting the picture real quick for us, what it looked like was we go in the locker room, everybody splits up, defense on one side, offense on one side. And literally the coaches, they go over some of those corrections and things that they wanted to, you know, address with us or change. And then they'd come out and we'd have like projectors on each side. And basically it's like drawn up, and it's probably different now, right? Stuff's a lot different, but literally they would show like, all right, You know, the first half, they kept giving us this looks. Every time they went trips FIB, they like to run this, right? We were playing this. So I'm just going to say X, Y, Z because it's going to get too confusing. They might say, we've been playing X, right? And that's how we played it all week in practice. But then there's something that they notice, like, oh, but they're hitting us on this, or like, obviously they found a vulnerability in that. They'll say, instead of playing this, we're now going to do this. Those would be halftime adjustments. I know, like, some people, like my dad or some of these other people, make it seem like, oh, halftime adjustments don't exist. That's not true. Because I remember I got into it with him. I think even Peyton Manning made a comment like that. I disagree with that because I'm like, I don't know what y'all did, but I know what we did. We didn't make as many with the Panthers. Like, when I was with the Panthers, it was almost, maybe I agree with that. We weren't doing a whole bunch. But with Alabama, you best believe we were. And so they probably have, like, I don't know, maybe up to like 8 different things we wanted to adjust or correct. And then we would go out and play it different in the second half. And best believe, I mean, it made a difference, right? Now, in terms of what these guys are doing, I mean, I'm sure it's probably similar, right? It's basically just like, for example, I'm trying to think of a game where we just kept getting hit on something. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I don't know. Let's make up a hypothetical. Say we kept getting hit on a certain route concept, right? They kept catching us in conflict. They basically might just change how they're playing and say, hey, we've been playing cover 3 with this look. We're going to switch and we're going to play. We're going to go to quarters, right? And then they might make it more specific, like, hey, normally our rules say, all right, you got this guy 10 yards up and in. Now we're going to bump it to, I don't know, 12. Because that's what these offenses will do. Like, they'll know, it's kind of crazy, literally like chess. They'll know like how like the defenses tend to play stuff. And they'll basically try to influence those rules knowing that they can kind of get over. Like Sark, like when we played Texas in 2023, that's what he was doing. He knew that he could cause conflict because of, he coached here. He knew how Coach Saban's defense, like our philosophies and how we played certain things. So he did a really good job of like with his concepts causing a lot of like muddy reads for our D-backs, and that's why you saw a lot of mental errors and busts and things like that. But I guess that was a long way of explaining that, but that's for me, my experience, it was always like that in depth. It definitely was a big deal. I know we got about we probably need to hit this timeout so we can go ahead and get Clint on here. Let's do that. Let's go ahead and hit this top of the hour break early. When we come back, we'll be joined by Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson on the phone lines. If you guys got any questions or anything you guys want us to hit on, you can always drop in the chat or in an at message, we'll do that. But that's what we got coming up next right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
Game 3 was a classic. The World Series contest at Dodger Stadium went to L.A. over Toronto Monday night in 18 innings, 6-5. Freddie Freeman hit the game-winning homer. The contest lasted over 6.5 hours. Shohei Ohtani with a ground rule double, a solo homer, an RBI double, and then in the 7th, the solo homer to tie it. After those 4 at-bats with 4 extra base hits, Toronto walked Ohtani 5 straight times the rest of the night, usually intentionally. Game 4 of the series is Tuesday night in L.A., Game 5 Wednesday. Dodgers up 2-1. A Monday night football win at Kansas City for the Chiefs over Washington 28-7. Patrick Mahomes, 3 touchdown passes in the second half. In the NBA, Oklahoma City's 4-0 after winning at Dallas. Denver won at Minnesota. Jamal Murray scored 43 points. Anthony Edwards of Minnesota out 2 weeks with a strained hamstring.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at PearlRiverResort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by Two Dimes. Online at TwoDimes.club. And by Druid City Regional Medical Center. DCHSystem.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, We transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC are partnering with Baumhauer's Victory Grill this season to put you in the best seats in the house at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Sign up online at 953thebear.com, on the app, or the Tide 100.9 app. Each week, we'll pick a winner for a pair of tickets to an Alabama home football game. Baumhauer's Victory Grill, with two locations in Tuscaloosa, Harper Lee Drive and Baumhauer South on Courtney Drive. Let Baumhauer's Victory Grill put you in the best seats in the house. With 95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites, from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier, so I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store. America's Arch Support Experts. We're now joined by our good friend, Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson. And hopefully we got this planned and set up to start doing once a week. A lot of you guys were excited when we had Clint on last time and have been requesting him. So Clint was nice enough to hop on here, and hopefully we're going to start doing this some more. But Clint, welcome in, man. Happy Tuesday to you.
Yeah, happy Tuesday to you, man. How you doing today, brother?
Man, I can't complain, man. This it's a Talking Tuesday here, so we've been talking about a whole bunch of just everything. We've been going everywhere and anywhere, and obviously with the bye week, man. Normally we're starting to prep for another team and looking ahead, but really just prepping for ourselves. So we've just been we've been hanging out, but I want to get your thoughts, man. South Carolina, we know that game was everything but a pretty win, but as me and my dad always say, man, a win is a win. Doesn't matter how you get it. South Carolina thought they had a chance. Their fans thought they were about to storm the field, but Ty Simpson and Ryan Grubb with his play caller, man, last minute, Some really great stuff. Found a way. Give me your overall thoughts, man, on what you thought about that win over South Carolina last weekend.
Yeah, you know, I can't really blame South Carolina fans based off of the way that the game had kind of been going as far as the offense's inability to move the football consistently. A lot of three and outs, couldn't run the football. Vertical passing game wasn't there. You know, tackles were struggling in pass protection. Interior guys were struggling as far as moving guys off the football in the run game and sustaining blocks. I mean, I can understand why they would start to get a little bit excited. You got to give South Carolina a lot of credit. Backs were against the wall. You know, they came out swinging, and they played hard on both sides of the football. But one thing I'll say, this 2025 Alabama team, their ability to overcome adversity relative to the 2024 squad is night and day different. You know, they can come out and get hit in the mouth. I know how things looked against Florida State in week one. That certainly was a lot more 2024 than what we've seen since, but it just feels like things have clicked for them on that front. And you never want to see a team, you know, a team like Alabama, who's a top five team and expected to compete for a college football playoff spot and maybe even be a national title contender. You never want to see them struggle against a 3-4 football team. But I also think South Carolina is better than their record would indicate. They've played a lot of good teams. And, you know, they've had some things that didn't bounce their way. I don't think they obviously had deficiencies, but I just think that going into a hostile environment and stuff, Alabama's ability to respond to both sides of the football late really told me something as far as this team's ability to overcome adversity. I think that was probably, you know, easily my biggest takeaway.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's easy to focus on, you know, all the things that didn't go right. But when you do shift your perspective and you think about it, like, man, this team found a way. And you mentioned, you know, those final drives and, you know, the play calling and the execution, man, it was exactly what the doctor prescribed, and Alabama found a way. And I think that's the biggest takeaway when you shift your perspective is that, I mean, you're going to find yourselves in those situations. I mean, you also got to, you know, think of it that, hey, man, that was a fifth game in a five-game stretch, the previous four being all against ranked teams. I mean, you're beating up, you're bruised, you go in a hostile environment, and you get the dub, which is most important. You mentioned the offensive line, you know, and the inability to run the football effectively, Clint. I know a lot of folks have been asking us on here, and we've been talking about this, but I'm curious your perspective. What is leading to the inconsistencies with the lack of running game? For me, when I watched, I know people are saying, is it the running backs? Is it the offensive line? Is it the, you know, the play design, like the specific runs? To me, I think it's been a little bit of a combination. I think most of it going on, the lack of execution on a consistent level from the offensive line. When I watch the tape, I mean, there's times whether it's, you know, we're not getting great initial push up front. We're not climbing to the second level, you know, at the right time, or we're not doing it the way it needs to be done on an execution standpoint. Then I think also Jam being banged up a little bit before he had that concussion, he kind of did provide a little bit of a spark, whether it was that veteran presence and that vision that he has, and just that dynamic ability. So I do think a little bit of that is included as well. But for you, Clint, because I know you also, you know, you break the tape down. What have you seen, and why has Alabama struggled to run the football consistently?
Yeah, I feel like it's a combination of factors. You know, I think they struggle with run stunts at times. I think that's been pretty apparent. I think as far as individual guys, it's not always the same one or two guys. I think it's pretty collectively across the board. Obviously, in the run blocking department, Caden Proctor is probably the least susceptible to getting beat. But as far as sustaining blocks individually, or, you know, when you're trying to you know, double team a workup to the second level, just for whatever reason, there always seems to be one guy. And it's not just the offensive line. I think the tight end have played a part. I mean, when you think about Danny Lewis and what he was supposed to be for this offense, being that bigger blocker, more of the inline type of guy. I mean, he was available for Georgia, Vanderbilt, and Missouri. I mean, and I don't think he's the sole reason that they've struggled to run the football when he's not been out there, but I do think his presence in those three games in particular in some ways aided the run game because he was supposed to be your primary blocking tight end. Quavis is obviously a really reliable pass catcher. I think Caleb Edwards is going to be a really good player in due time, but Danny Lewis, I do think they're missing him at least to an extent. But just last year, you had Robbie Utes, you had C.J. Dupree. You had guys that could get guys blocked out there on the edges. And this year, nothing against Josh Quavis. And I do think that he occasionally has some really good blocks. but I don't think he's either one of those two guys, and I think that's been a problem as well. So really, you can't pinpoint it to one thing, because I also think that the running backs, they're not always seeing it. It feels like a crease will be there, and for whatever reason, Jam won't press it when he needs to. I do think overall he does tend to show pretty good patience, so I think sometimes he's trying to let the block set up for him, and sometimes that pays off and sometimes it doesn't. But just for one reason or another, they just can't seem to get the running game going consistently, and it has been a problem. I mean, I think Alabama's done a really good job of overcoming some of those issues, but to think that they're going to be able to continue to do what they've done over the last, you know, really since the Florida State game, as far as the offensive success and being able to control the football and everything else, it's like on Saturday, they found themselves in a situation where, you know, because of South Carolina's ability to take away what Alabama had done well up to that point, or at least to an extent, and then you also had guys dropping football and just really wasn't very characteristic of Alabama in the way that they played. I do think that you've got to be able to rely on a run game or be able to turn to a run game at least to some extent. And so in the bye week, hopefully that's something that continues to get fixed. I think Jaden Roberts on a second watch through, I thought he actually played pretty decently well. I thought Parker, he didn't have his best performance. Left guard, I think, was a pretty big problem. Wilkin Formby at right tackle, I don't think he had his best game either when it comes to the run blocking. But it is definitely a major problem, and it's something that they need to continue to work on.
Yeah, I agree 100% with you. And I know I've started to get used to the extensions of the running game to try to help with that. And while I do think that it's smart, it's what you need to do, and I think Ryan Grubb is doing the right thing, I do agree that at some point you still have to find your niche there with the traditional running game. I talked about things, even like in Georgia, wasn't really there majority of the game, but guess when it showed up and when you needed it most, when that 4-minute offense situation came out there. You had to get those first downs. Like, there's critical moments in games where it really comes up, and if you don't have it there, it can come back to bite you. On the other side of the football, Clint, we were talking about this earlier on the show. One thing about this defense, man, it's very interesting when you ask people about their opinions, because on one aspect, you look at this defense and your brain can immediately shift to the explosives that we give up, some of the things that we haven't done necessarily well at times. But then if you really think about it, Clint, I mean, for about 80% of the time, I mean, this defense, I mean, they come up big in the red zone. They get stops when they need it. The pass rush has been better. There's a lot of complaints about defensive line play early in the year, but I feel like those guys have stepped up, and we're now seeing a lot more of the depth players get more opportunities. Obviously, the coaching staff is pleased with their developments, and the secondary has been solid. And we all know the turnovers that are forced, and last but not least, the linebackers. I think their play is definitely improved. But my question to you is, Clay, number one, I mean, what is your thoughts on the defense where we stand right now? And two, do you think this defense is championship caliber, meaning it's where it needs to be for us to be a national championship team?
I think if you're continuing to get what they've got in most games from the offense, it is, you know, it's enough to get the job done. I think they play winning football at the right times. I think in the critical moments, they step up and they make plays. There are moments in the game where you're watching and it just seems like there's an inability to stop the opposing offense. Like, it seems like in some ways they might even at times be getting pushed around a little bit. But when you look at the end result and how things actually end up looking on the scoreboard and the stat sheet, I mean, it's actually pretty impressive. And their ability to generate turnovers in a timely manner when it really matters, I thought, just as far as the way that the offense came out against South Carolina and then going out there and getting a pick six to try to really set the tone. In most cases, if the offense wasn't having such an off day, that would have been a great momentum grabber. So I thought that was big as far as starting the game. And then towards the end of the game, being able to get that turnover you talked about against Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt was down in the red area and they were getting ready to score to go up multiple scores. You see a turnover, the pick six before halftime against Tennessee to completely turn that game upside down. Missouri, some timely turnovers. So it was, their ability to do that, I think, is really critical. I really think the individual pieces are really starting to come together. Like you were talking about the defensive front, great observation. I completely agree. As much criticism as the defensive line has gotten as far as some of the explosives and stuff, I think from a run fit perspective, whether it be sometimes second level, sometimes third level, sometimes the defensive line, when you think a team's gashing you in the run game, you just automatically assume it's the big guys up front. To me, that hadn't always been the case when it comes to the the run game this year and really last year as well. But I think that the defensive line has really started to come on strong. I think London Simmons is playing good football. I think Kelby Collins is a transfer player. He's starting to play better football. Edric Hill is providing some solid contributions. James Smith would still like to see a little bit more consistency from him, but he's starting to make some impactful plays. And then, of course, Tim Keenan is just an absolute ox in there. I think he's playing great football right now. And then when you start talking about guys like Yanze Pierre, he's coming on strong, providing a little juice to the pass rusher, but also has really shown a lot of improvement as far as setting the edge against the run. It's having to play a lot of snaps right now. You really wish Clay Russo was available to kind of split that workload with him. But at the same time, I just think really at all three levels, they're starting to play pretty good football, and they're starting to get more confident and comfortable in this Kane-Womack defense. And I think Womack, to his credit, I mean, you know, he's willing to change up the personnel packages a little bit more this year. I think he's, you know, the mugging the linebackers, he's not doing that quite as often, or at least I don't think that he is on the surface. And I thought that was kind of an issue early on in the season. So that's him kind of learning and understanding that on those early downs, doing that as often as they were, probably don't need to be doing that quite as much. I think the secondary is getting more comfortable. You got a lot of different bodies in there. And I think Dijon kind of being one of those players who still, you know, some freshmen up and down. But at the same time, I mean, his impact has been pretty noticeable in my opinion. And he's got just a lot of raw ability. So the fact that, you know, they're kind of getting that position to play a little bit more physical, more consistently, I think that's helped. So I actually really like, I thought their performance against South Carolina, we knew Lenore Sellers is a very strong runner. He's going to break a lot of tackles. I was kind of surprised at how many Alabama fans were surprised by that when they actually saw it, because that's all we talked about all week leading up to the game. But, I mean, I think overall they did a pretty good job of managing some of the other elements of South Carolina's offense, and they really made a lot of plays when things seemed to matter. So I actually think overall they played really good football on Saturday on the defensive side.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think they were pretty much the highlight majority of the game in that matchup. And, you know, to be fair, South Carolina, and I talked about a lot of their insufficiencies that they had offensively, but they still had, like you mentioned, Lenore Sellers and breaking the most tackles out of any quarterback in the country. You know, Nick Harbor is a track star, literally. I mean, he had to play there. And I thought they actually played better offensively than they had for most of the season. So I was impressed with our defense performance. Clint, we've got a real quick, let me remind our listeners, we're joined by Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson again, at Clint R. Lamb on X. You can follow him and keep up with all the good stuff that they do. Clint, we got a question here in the chat for you. They've asked, do you believe that Daniel Hill has solidified his position as RB2 after what we've seen? I mean, I'll just give my quick answer. I think it's pretty safe to say. I mean, he's kind of moved himself up. I know Kevin Riley was probably, you know, the RB2 for majority of the time until we've seen a healthier Daniel Hill, which they mentioned. But with his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, and I think him just getting more reps, I think he'll continue to progress. What are your thoughts on that, Clint?
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And you could probably speak more. I don't know how often you're able to go to the practices and stuff, but just having that ability and seeing some of the behind-the-scenes stuff, people I talked to back in the spring spoke very highly of Daniel Hill. And it was kind of strange because once we got into fall camp and we were monitoring that situation, you know, you didn't really hear quite the same amount of buzz. And Ryan Grubb had actually mentioned, I think, that they weren't getting the same umph from him in fall camp they had gotten back in the spring. Obviously, probably some of that was injury related and they were trying to get him back to 100%. But now that he is, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, he's making plays. Now, granted, was he great in pass protection against South Carolina? No. But overall, especially tackle to tackle, when he's got to stick his nose in there and get somebody blocked, I mean, I think he does a pretty good job, and he's pretty big. He's pretty physical. Some of that, you know, corner blitz, you know, off the edge stuff kind of caused him a little bit of trouble. But overall, I think he's been solid in pass protection. Him as a receiver, I think he's a weapon. He's a much bigger weapon in that facet of the game than a lot of people give him credit for. He's a big, powerful guy. I think the contact balance is there. And, you know, he was making some timely plays as a pass catcher. There wasn't a whole lot available as a runner. But I do think there was one run in particular that he performed pretty well on. And just really when you start talking about the last few weeks, I think he's been a needed element to this Alabama backfield. Maybe not necessarily as a runner consistently yet, even though that's been there at times. But I think when you start talking about what Jim Miller could potentially provide once he gets, you know, further removed from that concussion and starts recapturing what we were seeing flashes of when he returned from the collarbone issue, I think you've got a nice little 1-2 punch there at running back. Could they do some things better? Probably, but I think that's more so the guys up front and seeing some improvement, some continuity there.
Yeah, no, I agree. Then I think we can't forget about Kevin Riley, too, who definitely provided a nice little spark when we needed to. I think the three of those guys, they all kind of offer something a little bit different. Jam's kind of like a blend of the perfect all-around back, can pretty much do all three things. I mean, he's got good size to him, but good speed and agility as well. Kevin Riley being a smaller guy, I mean, he's definitely tough and not afraid to lower his shoulder. Then you got Daniel Hill, who's got the stature that you would be surprised with how athletic he is and his ability to catch a ball to the backfield. So, yeah, I'm with you, man. I think those three guys are definitely solid, which leads me to this question that we have from Superfly. He says, being that we are halfway through the season, do you think, and I know we mentioned a little bit about the running game, but his question is, do you think we actually can get more consistent of a running game going moving forward, or is it we're probably stuck with what we have?
You know, I do think that there's a chance for improvement. Before the South Carolina game, I would have told you they were trending in the right direction. I thought they showed flashes against Georgia. I thought it was much better against Vanderbilt. It was solid against Missouri. Tennessee, obviously, you had the, jam as far as his availability and kind of coming off of that concussion. I think that impacted things. But then against South Carolina, that was really where it felt like everything took a step back. But at the same time, when you're talking about your pass catchers dropping passes, your quarterback seems a little bit off in the passing game. Like, there are a bunch of elements of the offense that just felt like it was uncharacteristic relative to what we had come to expect from the offense. Maybe, you know, the run game is the same thing. Maybe the offensive line didn't bring their A game either on that front. So while I do think there are reasons for concern because it has been a season-long problem as far as the consistency, I also think that, like, you know, when I went and watched Jaden Roberts individually, do I think he played lights out and he was phenomenal? No, but I actually think that he was, on an individual level, he was pretty good. I think Parker Brelsford struggled. I think left guard struggled. You know, obviously, pass rush with the two tackles is going to continue to be a problem. It's just, you know, some limitations they have athletically. But, you know, I still think that Parker, you're going to get a good player in Parker Brelsford. We know that. This felt like a very uncharacteristic game from him. Left guard's probably my biggest question mark right now. We'll have to see how that continues to develop. But I mean, I still think that overall, there's still a chance for this run game. I don't think it's going to all of a sudden become dominant or this 50-50 complementary split to what they provide as far as the effectiveness of the passing game. But I think it can become more complementary, as long as they continue to try to fix some of these issues, because it seems like a lot of these issues are correctable, but at some point they've got to start getting those corrected.
Yeah. And I was going to say, you brought up Vanderbilt. Watching the tape there, the execution on that one was, I mean, solid. Like, I was watching the offensive line specifically when I went back and watched that game. And it made sense why we had so much success on the ground. I mean, it started up front, and Jam had so many holes to hit. I mean, he was, you know, bursting for explosive run after run. So, yeah, I mean, that definitely, if we could find a way to recreate that, I agree with you. I think it's definitely correctable. It's not necessarily just given the personnel issue there. Clint, I got one last thing for you, man. I appreciate you so much for joining us, man. We're talking about the whole championship level thing. Obviously, Alabama's a top four team right now. A lot of people buying stock into Alabama. But if there's just a couple things that you had to say, you know, during this bye week, Alabama needs to correct, get right, or to address in order to be that championship level football team, what would those things be? If I had to guess, probably we just talked about one of them, the running game for sure. But any other things that come to mind that you say this Alabama team needs to get better at if they want to win a national championship?
I do feel like the running game, getting that going and being on schedule a little bit more, it feels like they've found themselves in some third and mediums and third and longs a little bit too often in the last couple of games. And granted, against Tennessee, I thought they held up pretty well as far as the tackle play. But, the tackles are who they are. You're not going to all of a sudden get better pass blocking from those guys. You might do some things to aid them or help them out, but I think they've already been doing that to an extent. I think it's more so just trying to protect those guys as much as possible by being – you know, in more favorable down and distances more consistently. I know they really trust Ty and those kind of you know, third and mediums, third and longs. But I think, you know, the tackle play is where it really was glaring to me on tape as far as against South Carolina. Just really didn't feel like they trusted those tackles a lot in those situations. So, you know, would like to see improvement on that front. I think defensively, you know, obviously you want to limit the explosives on the ground. That's kind of been a problem. You saw some of that from Lenore Sellers, but it's more so been previous games. You would like them to continue to work on that. But I actually think that that's coming as, you know, Tim Keenan gets, you know, back in the groove of things, which I know he's been back for a little while now. But I think he's playing good football, and really across the first two levels, I think they're starting to get more, you know, they're playing, you know, a little bit better as far as playing as a unit. I think that that should improve some. You'd like to see it improve as much as possible. Because if you can limit the run game, I think the secondary is playing really good football right now. And you've got guys that can capitalize as far as, you know, getting their hands on the football. So that would be something that I would look for. And just, you know, the kicking game, you'd like to see a little bit more stability there. I know that, yeah, you know, Connor Talty, you know, he's actually been pretty good. I don't know what the numbers are.
Inside the 40 or something like that?
Yeah, well, I don't know if he's – I don't think – has he missed one inside the 40?
I don't think so. From what we had on the show yesterday, it's like he's perfect inside the 40, allegedly, which is kind of deceiving, I guess, because I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah, you know, and you know, a lot of those misses, when you talk about them, I mean, you had the one against Florida State. Obviously, you know, you've had one in the Georgia game, which was really ugly. He pulled it left really hard. Had a miss, I think, against Missouri. I mean, he's missed on the road a few times. I want to say three of his four misses have come on the road. But at the same time, you know, I think punting is getting better. I think that Connor Talty, you'd like to see him continue to kind of become a reliable option, because you just don't want to be in a situation. You know, if Alabama would have had to kick that field goal on Saturday, you know, how confident would they have been in Connor Talty? Not, I mean, he has been good under 40 yards, but you're also talking about a very hostile environment. They were showing him on the sidelines. I mean, I'm not a body language reader, but it didn't feel like he looked super comfortable. I'm purely speculating. Maybe he was cool as a cucumber. I don't know. But it's just, you know, that at some point, Alabama's going to have to knock down some big kicks, because way too many of these games are way too close. And, you know, Connor Talty is definitely going to be a very important element of this football team. So would love to see him continue to kind of, you know, grow and develop on that front as well. But overall, I think that this team is, they're playing pretty well. It is mostly the run game, and you would of course love to see the vertical passing game kind of get on track as far as the timing and things like that. They got guys that can win downfield. I think Ty has enough arm strength to get him the football. So it's really just the timing and making some of that stuff more effective. If they can do that, this offense has a chance to be really lethal. But, you know, once again, it's something that they got to continue to work on.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. I was laughing when you're talking about the kicking game, because – and I'll be careful, because I know some of my former a lot of former teammates of mine listen to the show. And matter of fact, one of them was one of our kickers. And I'm just laughing because before him, though, I mean, we used to have those moments where we would just be on the sideline, and as soon as we'd have to send our unit out, I mean, like defense, we literally would be strapping our helmets on, not to go on kickoff, but to take over a series, because we already knew. We're like, yeah, we're about to go back out there. So, no, hopefully, look, I mean, he's getting there. I think he's making some progress, but you're right. The body language wasn't great. And I think he even saw a meme or saw a tweet like Jeff Allen. He said Jeff Allen was peeping him, just like didn't look very, very solid himself. And I'm like, damn. And Jeff's probably one of the few people you normally you can rely on to be confident. I'm like, damn, Jeff's looking a little uneasy. We might be in trouble. Clint, man, I appreciate it. It's been fun, man. I look forward to hopefully doing this on Tuesdays, getting around this time. I know our chat loves it, and I enjoy it. Before we let you go, man, tell everybody how they can keep up with all the good stuff that you're doing.
Yeah, you can find me at the Cover Crimson YouTube channel. We have a daily show over there. Also, podcast forum, search Cover Crimson Podcast Network on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, and then on Twitter, at Clint R. Lamb. I'm over there all the time sharing different things. But Christian, this has been a blast, man. I absolutely love what you're doing. I think you're one of the best in the business, and appreciate you having me on, man. I'm looking forward to doing this weekly if we can.
Yeah, absolutely, man. No, we're locked in, man. Tuesdays at noon, man. I love it, man. I'm excited about it. Clint, I appreciate you, brother. Thanks as always, man. We'll talk soon.
Absolutely. Good talking to you, Christian.
Yes, sir. You too, brother. Good deal. That was Clint Lamb, Cover Crimson. You heard it here. Good stuff, man. And like he said, man, Tuesdays at noon. So looking forward to that. I'm Talking Tuesdays. We'll be joined by Clint of Cover Crimson. Again, check them out. They do really good work, man. I've followed Clint for some time now, and he definitely does a really good job with his writing. He breaks stuff down. He does a lot of clips on Twitter as well. And he takes it serious. That's why I definitely respect a lot of the work that he does, because, I mean, he you can tell, man, he does his homework. He's deep into the tape, and he's putting it out for you left and right. I mean, it's nonstop action with him and the company at Cover Crimson. So make sure you guys give them a follow, subscribe, and all that good stuff on their YouTube channel as well. And we got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we keep on rolling on this Talking Tuesday edition. We respond to what Clint had to say. Plus, we'll keep diving into some stuff. We are, I think, open on the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We might have Tommy on there, but other than that, I think we're open. So if you guys want to jump in on this Talking Tuesday, feel free right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9145.
SNRIs and blood thinners increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Just a small chance of a shower this afternoon, otherwise mostly cloudy, the high 64. Cloudy tonight with rain moving in, the low 55. Tomorrow cloudy and cool, rain likely, especially during the morning hours, the high 58. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 59 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
And welcome back into this Talking Tuesday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. Just got done talking with Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson. Again, big shout out to him. He's going to start joining us Tuesdays at noon. So make sure you guys pencil that in. I know you guys really enjoy having when he comes on here. And I love having him on here, man. This is great stuff, great content. He does a really good job. So we're definitely appreciative of him. I can't talk anymore. I've lost my ability to talk. We're very appreciative of him joining us and looking forward to it Tuesdays at noon. Again, shout out to Clint and Cover Crimson. They do great work. Make sure you guys give them a follow, or subscribe to their YouTube and all that good stuff. I know you guys already checked them out. They do a really good job. They're very popular. But if you haven't, man, make sure you guys do that right now. All right, we're going to go back to the phone lines. We've got Tommy up next. And then in the meantime, I'm also going to pull up some clips because we were talking about a lot about the running game. I know you guys are wondering kind of what exactly is happening. So we're going to take a look at that. If you guys want to watch at the Miller's Edge on our stream, I'll try to do that while we're talking with Tommy and others. And then when I get a chance to kind of have my thoughts, I'll do that. And worst case, we'll hang out for some overtime today and watch some more tape after we conclude doing radio. So just a heads up on kind of what we got planned over the next 30 minutes or so. That being said, to the phone lines we go. We got Tommy up next. Tommy, welcome in.
Hey, Tristan. How are you today?
Man, I'm great. Tommy, how are you?
Can't complain. I know the feeling about when you lose your voice. Yeah, I understand that very well. Yeah.
Well, you sound, I mean, like night and day's difference, Tommy. I mean, like literally.
Yeah. Yeah. I had to do some tests and get some medicine. So, well, like it's working. So let's hope it works. And I can be my adorable, charming self again, which is very hard to do.
You sound great. What? That's the biggest thing, man. You sound great. So it sounds like it's working, man. I'm happy for you.
Yeah, hey, I missed out on your father yesterday and Friday, but, you know. But, no, if we're going to win a championship, we're going to have to be able to run the ball. And, I'm going to say this again. I know y'all get tired of me saying it because, well, I'm an old man. I can say things over and over. Nobody cares. I said this 100 times. I said, hey, every game probably is a trap game, and it's a playoff game. Because everybody's talking about, well, you know, I'm only 1-3 at Georgia and Columbia and this and this. Well, it's SEC games, okay? I expect tough games. I mean, look at the talent in this league. It's just unbelievable. And I think the dilemma starting quarterback in the NFL that play for SEC schools out of 32 teams, that is a pretty phenomenal number, in my opinion. I could be wrong. I don't think Noah the Cover is having any more, but they might. I'm not going to see great defenses. They're going to see great quarterbacks every week. I'm going to tell the fans right now, I'm going to ride them back in. I'm going to bitch at them all I can. Excuse my French, but LSU is a wounded tiger. Don't overlook them.
You definitely don't want to overlook them for sure. I feel good the fact that we got three straight home games, which would be nice. I mean, we know we play at home, man. I mean, shout out to the fans. I mean, I know I've challenged our fans a couple of times to bring that juice of our atmosphere to try to match some of these other ones that I've been to. And shoot, I mean, you got to tip your hat, man, and give credit where it's due. Fans have been bringing
it. They need him ring it. I don't like to look at him, but they need him ring it the next three home games. All right? Yeah. Bring the LSU. I mean, I don't know. LSU don't miss that quarterback. I don't want to hear it. LSU is LSU in my book. Respect your opponent. Don't be fearful of them, but respect them and show the class they deserve and take care of business. Well, for us to be a championship team, we're going to have to do a lot better than running. That's the only thing that scares me. Because we're going to play against teams that have good defense and have good offense. And if they can play good defense and control the ball, time of possession, like South Carolina did Saturday, we might come up short that 90% of football. And we can cut down the turnover, penalty, and possessions and play smart, sound football when they're kicking it. 95% of the time, you're going to win the football game. But what Coach Stolen used to say, Coach Bryant, I'm pretty sure Coach Saban does the same thing to y'all when you play. So,
The
concept of football haven't really changed. It might be more pass-oriented right now, but the concept is your important. And that lets other teams score points. Very simple.
Absolutely. No, I mean, you're right. And that was one thing that South Carolina was able to do. I mean, their time of possession, and it really was, if you look at it, the three and outs that we were having, and offense not being able to drive the football down the field, that was uncharacteristic. Like I talked about, man, if we played uncharacteristic, things could get interesting for sure. But I am convinced that, you know, last game of a five-game stretch before a bye week, hostile road game against a team with some good guys, but we're a little bit beat up and bruised up. I mean, we'll see how we come out of this this bye week, which I'm excited about. But no, I agree with you. Getting the running game going is going to be huge. Finding ways to continue to clean up the protection and the guys up front, getting them as, you know, solid as possible, really is huge. Then defensively, just you know, really just continue building on what we've been doing, limiting the big explosive plays. And just finding ways to continue to come up with stops when we need it most. And I think, like Clint said, I mean, that kicking game, can't forget about that one. You got to be able to trust in your kicker, because we all know here, I think we got a little spoiled with Will Riker, but we've had some times where, you know, we haven't always been able to rely on the kicker, right? So that definitely is something to think about as well.
Yeah, I mean, we've been spoiling with kicking too. Van Tiffin, Philip Doe, Real Riker. There's a list, I mean, I remember when we beat Georgia for the national championship. I'm out had a stroke when once the name missed that chip shot field goal. I'm like, oh my Lord. But, you know, that's football.
It definitely happens. No, it happens. That's why I was joking about. I mean, as a defense, you just got to know, all right, we got to be ready to go back out there and just, you know, get a stop. But but again, it's just interesting. I mean, inside 40, he's been solid. I think he just got to just, you know, get a little more consistent. Well, yeah. I think one time they had a bad snap too. I think one of the misses, I think DeBoer even mentioned the snap, like the setup for it wasn't great. I don't know. They got to get that down pat.
I know a lot of people complain like, well, he should have ran Alabama, line up and kick the field goal. Don't let South Carolina not get the ball back. But you know what? And that was me. If I was Bernard, I have 6 yards to the end zone. Nobody touching me. I'm going to go for the touchdown. Because I heard the same crap somebody said with Jalen Hurts. He should have fell down on the 1 yard line when he scored the touchdown Clemson. And Clemson came back and beat us for a minute 32 in the ball game. When you got a wide open, all you see is, I won't sit. I mean, that might be great football, but like y'all said yesterday, he just fell on the one. And the next play, he can fumble the ball or a bad snap, a bad hole. I mean, you know, you got to play like you play. You got to take the opportunity when you see it. And I'm most fortunate enough to stop South Carolina for a sack team in the ball game. I mean, you know.
That's true.
Oh, well.
That's true.
Not why they call it Monday Night Quarterback. All those old jokes argue on Monday about what went wrong. But hey, everything worked out, so I'm happy.
Yeah, that's what we all do at this point. Just sit here and just chat about what happened on Saturday. Even I've reached that point as well. Tommy, we appreciate you, man.
All right, buddy. Road time. Talk to you later. Stay your dad hot.
Yes, sir.
All right, man.
Absolutely. Bye. Will do, man. Take care. Good deal. We got to hit a timeout. Big thanks to two-time Tommy joining us. When we come back, keep on rolling. And I got the tape pulled up, so we'll start taking a look at this running game, see what we can come up with. Right on the Miller's Edge, top 100.9, 1230.
Info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa. Call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation...
Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. Babbel.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. All right. I think we got another call to get to on the phone line. So we'll do that. Plus, we got this tape pulled up. We'll keep looking at that. And what we'll do is we'll do overtime. So I'll close things out on the radio here in about 7 minutes or so. And then we'll keep the stream going if you guys want to hang out here. And we'll watch some of this tape to see if we can diagnose some more about the running game. I mean, I can tell you what I've already seen watching other things. I don't think I've watched Wisconsin like this. So we'll do it together. All right, that being said, 205-342-9904 is the number to the phone line. That's funny. Somebody mentioned Bill Parcells. That was my dad's football coach in New York, man, for years. All right, we got Pat up next. Pat, welcome in.
Yeah, I appreciate you taking my call. Undoubtedly, yeah, I owe you and your dad an apology. I haven't, and I'm not sure exactly what I'm supposed to have said, but Ragged Glory's sister sent me a text and chewed me out and told me to leave y'all alone. I've never said nothing bad about you. I've been playing with Corey a little bit and ingested fun with his predicting South Carolina to beat us, and he was almost right. It took a miracle in the chicken coop in order to save our butt by Mr. Lawson and Mr. Keenan. And but anyway, hey, if I owe your daddy an apology, then I wish I knew what I was supposed to apologize for. But hey, because I
love you. I'm trying to tell her that
your daddy's a big guy and he likes picking in fun too. And, you know, but hey, I was just happy to come away from there. I'd have been happy with a 1-point win. But why I didn't on the next show. I didn't pick Alabama to cover the spread, because you never know when you go into Bryce Stadium. Them people over there play different when you go in there. You might go in there and just beat them down, and you might go in there and be in a dogfight.
Oh yeah, no, 100%. And that's exactly what we got, man. They gave us their best shot, and at the end of the day, we found a way to pull one out.
And the thing about it is, yeah, I mean, there's people that talk bad about Coach Shula, but hey, Coach Shula, hey, wasn't doing the blocking and all that kind of stuff, and that he did everything he could to help them with that, and they almost did it, you know. But almost is how you say hand grenades and horseshoes. But I'm just happy to come out there with a win, because I really feel like that this team, just like you said. Now, how many times has AK Deer, you talk about running, how many times has AK Deer touched the ball? And I know we're bad as Alabama fans talking about how good the one is on the bench, but I know I saw him run the ball 10 yards one time.
Yeah, I know he had an opportunity or so earlier in the year in some of those, trash minutes. But I think the thing is, Pat, I mean, these coaches see these guys every day. And I think one thing we know about these coaches, it is they will play whoever they feel like gives them the best shot. I mean, that's the reason why they rotate so many players. So I just choose to trust this coaching staff where, if he's not getting snaps right now, they feel like the other guys are just, in a better position to rely on.
It's obvious none of them are doing a great job. We've been fortunate and luckily that we've had this short yardage passing game that he's been able to pick apart with a little bit of running, because they're sticking with the running, and they got to – Bernard broke away. What was that yard? 25 yards or better on that run. It was a very good run, even though they didn't try to tackle him. And I still would have made that field goal kicker beat me. I wouldn't have tried, because they had Harbor. Harbor had beat us on one pass, but odds of that happening again were slim and none at all. What do you think?
We've talked about it for like 20 minutes yesterday, and so I'll keep it short today, because I know it can go either way. At the end of the day, I mean, these coaches, they have to make a decision, right? And in that moment in the football game, and once South Carolina realized that Bernard was getting the first down, they were coached up to let him score, right? And because the decision you're making at that point is, we don't have any timeouts, right? Once he got past the first down marker, he was, I want to say, like around the 20-yard line or so. At that point, it's like a 30-yard field goal. Our kicker, I know he hasn't had a game winner. I know he doesn't have much experience. But a 30-yard field goal in Alabama having two timeouts where they can run another play or two, right, to get the ball centered perfect for them and make it a 25- to 30-yard field goal. Hey, look, that's almost a given, right? I'm not saying it is, because we know you can miss it. But I think for them, it's like, all right, we can just – hope that he misses it, or we can just go ahead if they get the first down, let them score. And we got 30 seconds. We got Lenora Sellers, who we know can break all types of tackles. We got a 6'5", a receiver that's a track star. Maybe we can make a return and get some big yardage and try our shot. I think it's really just tomato, tomato. At the end of the day, there's probably a 99% chance they lose the game regardless. But I think the decision they made total sense from a football perspective. It's just they would rather at least have some type of say in the game to end it. Like, we at least get a chance with the football in our hands versus having to just watch Alabama run the clock down, tap it in there, and then we just have nothing to say about it.
I follow you. All right.
But I'll be honest with you, Pat. The more we've talked about that scenario so much, I mean, like, I'm not saying you guys that – you know, say you should have bet on the kicker missing. Look, the more I think about it, I'm like, you know what? I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, honestly. It's just from a football perspective, I mean, it's just all about philosophy. Some people just say, hey, we got a quarterback and a receiver. Hey, give them a chance and we'll see what they can come up with.
Yes.
Pat, we appreciate you, brother.
Have a blessed day, sir. And then again, that is, hey, follow your daddy and apologize.
Oh, man, no, you're good, brother. No, you're fine, man. It's all sports radio, man. We're just having fun talking ball. I think you're good. We appreciate that. All right, I'm going to close things out via radio. I'm going to hang out on the stream because we got the tape pulled up. We'll take a look at that for a little bit, break down this running game. Appreciate everybody. Big thanks to Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson joining us. And again, tomorrow we will be joined by Crazy Tony Brown right here on the Miller's Edge, probably about top of the hour as well. Looking forward to doing that as well. Right here on the Miller's Edge, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. Time 100.9, 1230 WTBC.